Welcome to the Ortho Joe Podcast, a joint production of the Journal of Bone and Joint Surgery and Ortho Evidence. Join hosts Mohit Bhandari and Mark Swankowski as they discuss current topics and publications in the world of orthopedics and beyond.
Okay, well, hello, Mark.
How are you? Good morning.
Another session of Ortho Joe. You are very, very, very casual, but you're well branded, which is very nice. For those who are listening, you won't see, but Mark is in a t-shirt that says JVJS with a backdrop that says JVJS. So
nothing better than JVJS swag in the summertime when you're at the lake.
Yeah. And you see, no tie, no problem. It's all good. It's all good. And I see you have a cup of Joe in your hand. Do you?
I do. Yeah. It's the cabin cup, though, not the gotcha. Official approved cup. Well, for that, I'm asking forgiveness.
So I thought what I would do is I cover many of the listeners, you know, they may have had a chance to look at the two, I guess, documents that you and I put forward, stories about, you know, your transition and your tenure as the editor-in-chief. And sort of early in June, I put out an editorial piece that said sort of, and you can see it here, you know, the be good, be present, be grateful. And yours was in the Orthopedic Forum, which was what's important. And you had focused on this idea of the JVJS being a critical pillar in our field. And I thought it might be helpful just to maybe chat as probably our final discussion on the specific topic of this transition and what the JVJS means. But, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about it as we have other guests and how we move forward. But maybe let me start to ask you a question, Mark, if I could.
Of course.
Yeah. When you said the idea of, you know, and you're thinking about what you're going to say, how did this idea of the critical pillar become the focus? So what was the origins of that, of your actual what's important focus?
Well, you and I share the same tendency. Some would call it being so out of balance with everything else that it's a disease of valuing the quality of evidence on which we make practice decisions. And people ask me all the time, do you enjoy the job? You'll be asked that question if you haven't already.
Right.
And my answer is no, I don't enjoy it, but I find it rewarding because it's really important work, because practitioners all over the globe actually make decisions on what they're going to do with an individual patient. And that's, I would say, almost sacred importance of how we have to devote maximum care to the quality of the peer review process so that the information we put out there is as high a grade as it can possibly be for our field. So that, I suppose, gave rise to the word pillar. And of course, the AOA has been recognizing individuals that they call pillars of our orthopedic specialty. And I suppose that was in the background, and that's where the word pillar came up, that it really is the underpinnings of our specialty.
When you look at publishing, and this is not meant to be an interview, so you know, you can just throw something back at me. But the thing that has been curious for me, if I look at now the last 25 days, you know, with the official, I guess, start in this role early in June. But like when I think about it, I really have been reflecting on just not at JVJS, but anywhere in publishing, the changing role of an editor and what it means to be an editor in 2024, maybe very different what it was to be an editor maybe in 2010. And I imagine that, you know, even when you were taking over, there were some things that you were looking to change or looking to do differently, not because you're just doing to do something differently, because that's what the environment required of, you know, the editorial process or the journal itself. Do you have any reflections on this idea of what you think, how the roles are changing, or should they be pretty well consistent?
No, I think the level of sophistication of our author community continues to escalate on a very rapid trajectory. And by that, I mean research methodology. I mean the use of large administrative data sets. Now, in the last year and a half, what's the role of artificial intelligence, et cetera, et cetera. And so, therefore, the role of the editor, let's say 25 years ago, around the time that Jim Heckman took over from Harry Cowell, was more of a one manuscript at a time, evaluation and what are the reviewers saying here, and should we publish it or not, with a high level of editorial involvement, which in Jim's time transitioned to the need for methodology and stats editors as the statistical sophistication grew and he was able to recruit Jeff Katz, who recruited others, right. Elena Lucina, ultimately Stephen Lyman, Andrew Schoenfeld, Patty Katz, etc. So now we have, you know, a cadre of stats and methodology editors that there was not much need for that 25 years ago. So there's that. And then there's, you know, research themes that continue to evolve. I think the orthopedic community was rather deaf, dumb, and blind to the issues of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And, you know, because of that, the critical role of that in the development of our specialty, we've had to add sophistication there. And we were fortunate enough to recruit Kano Okiki, et cetera. You know, we have many, a much broader and diverse, if I could use that term again, editorial board as the research methodology increases its sophistication. Now, I know I'm rambling here a little bit, and I know it's not an interview, but so the other thing that has become clear, I think, to our editorial board and our trustees is that most practitioners in our field, they're not looking to read an individual manuscript to make a treatment decision. Their lives are busy. They tend to most often not come from an academic background where they want to have deep dive into a specific topic. What they want from us is synthesized information, curated information, where we as experts can sift through the huge volume of published literature and make recommendations to them that they can digest and use in their practices. So that's been the whole effort of developing the website, jbjs.org, into something more than just a place to go find manuscripts and provide curated information. So those are the things that are changing. It will continue to evolve. And particularly with your interest and mandate and having the journal really be the world's orthopedic journal, the needs and what we need to do will continue to evolve way beyond the individual manuscript.
I think you're right too. You know, I've been reflecting a lot on that. You know, I've been several months, but really more intensely in the last, you know, several weeks. And you're right. You know, you get to travel. I certainly get the privilege to be able to go visit, you know, numerous institutions around the world. And there is a very simple, pervasive, you know, message that I get time and time again, Mark, which is we have lots and lots of insights to offer, but we don't really know. We don't really know where to send these insights. And so, like, there isn't a place that we feel that will, you know, is accepting of everything. And I'm not saying based on quality. I'm talking about the idea, right, itself. And I do think that the journal itself, the Journal of Bone and Joint Surgery, has a real, real opportunity not to become part of, you know, or not to contribute more to the siloed, you know, publication world that is journals and, you know, impact factors around individual journals and things like that. It's about, why are we here? Like, I think we're here to uplift our field. We're here to provide the absolute best information we can. And if we spend all our time worrying about the next person or the next group, we're wasting energy. I think we're wasting a lot of energy. What we should be doing is just building on principle. And, you know, what that means is getting out there, interacting with, surgeons all over, surgeons, practitioners, healthcare providers, physiotherapists, administrators, researchers, anyone in that broad spectrum that we would say helps us think about the care of musculoskeletal patients. If we can do that around the world and start building those networks and encouraging people to think JBJS broadly when you have a great idea, everything else will take care of itself. But I think we have to just move in that direction, because a strong JBJS strengthens all the orthopedic journals, by the way, not just, you know, it's not either or, and other strong journals strengthen us. So we just have to, I think, stop this blinkered adherence to just competition and focus on what's our purpose? Our purpose is to ultimately provide amazing, amazing insights to our field and uplift our field. We uplift our field, everything else is going to follow.
Yeah, well, to our listening audience, you just heard Mo's riff, a short bit of what he stated to the trustees when they decided to select him. I think it's a wonderful vision, and kudos to the trustees for choosing you, Mo. I think it's where we need to go and forget all these metrics and really just be about delivering the best information we can to help everyone care for the patient with musculoskeletal disease and injury. So,
well stated. I'll just say to you, I was in Cleveland Clinic this past weekend. I know you're at the AOA meeting, and I wish I could have been there to support you there. But, I had these previous commitments, and then I went off to Boston and also had a chance to interact with graduating classes and programs. And I'll tell you, when you look at the quality of the research that's out there, like I just felt like I had a front row seat to say, you know, the journal would love this. Like, how do we engage you at an earlier phase, well before you're ready at the manuscript phase, right? There's a lot of opportunities, you know, that we can do if we just stick to principles that we want to find the best, we want to engage the best. But I'll tell you something though, a quote by Charlie Munger came up. Charlie Munger was one of the, these great, billionaire investors, you know, who passed recently. But his whole thing was, if you show me the incentive, I'll show you the outcome. So if the incentive for the publishing industry is to game a system, trust me, that will be the outcome. And I would say, and you know, everyone who you know who's done very well in all the other fields says, stay true to your principles. And if you focus on the process, which is our process, just doing great things, engaging the world, getting out there, building networks, finding the best information, and encouraging people to send that information to us, outcome will take care of itself. I'm very, very certain of that. And I'm sure you've had that too, right? Where people focus too much on others rather than just focusing on themselves and just building themselves up. And that's what I think I've been really taking away in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, I'm really grateful for the fact that our trustees and our editors supported the fact that I did not want to play those kind of statistical games with the journal. So I didn't write editorial citing our own published work to elevate the impact factor, which is commonly done in our field. Well, I think is sad, but that we stuck true to really just publishing the highest quality information, regardless of whether it was going to be cited or not. And I'm proud of the fact that across the board, we're supported. And I know you'll continue to not play those kind of games and focus on what we're really about, which is the best evidence that we can share worldwide on which to treat patients.
And let me ask this, just on this topic of brand, you know, JBJS, and the one thing I have picked up everywhere, and again, those listenings probably have their own opinion of what can build a brand and what can destroy a brand. But in your opinion, when you think about just the idea of JBJS itself as a brand, like Nike logo in itself is a brand, you know, we think about these sorts of things. Where do you think, and I think you started off saying this, so I may be getting you to repeat this, and maybe that's not my goal, but where do you think brands go wrong, or the opposite, where do brands go right?
Yeah, I think brands go wrong when they try to diversify outside their area of expertise, and our field is very, very broad, and that's why I still think there's a major role for a general orthopedic journal like ours. But brands go wrong when they start confusing their consumer audience as to what they're about. And I hope we never do that. We're about excellence through peer review. Kudos to Jim Heckman for putting that moniker underneath the masthead. So that's the major number one. And number two is to have leadership that drifts away with decision-making on a day-to-day, month-to-month, year-to-year basis that doesn't support the mission of the organization. And that's why, you know, we have a tradition of putting up the first slide at every meeting is to remind everybody at the trustees, at the staff, at the editorial level, why we're here is to briefly review that before we even open our mouths on the agenda for the meeting.
Yeah, totally makes sense. And, you know, and on that issue of change, you know, there's numerous groups will often say that an entity, a company, an individual at an individual level, you have to almost, and I'll say the word reinvent a little bit in you know, parentheses, you have to reinvent yourself every 10 years. So if you were to think about that as a statement itself, where should the journal be going from your perspective?
Well,
outside of what we've talked about, you know, like it's unequivocal that we've got to become more global. when I say more global, it's global, but we've got to really get out there. And I think it's a big part of my own personal, it's consistent with my values and just my preferences that I want to get out and meet academics all over the world, any place in the world. You know, if there is an opportunity to be there and interact, I think there's an opportunity to do great things with them, right? So that's just been part of that mindset. But broader than that, are there other things where we need to be evolving?
I think we need to figure out ways to involve more people, researchers, practitioners who have a lot of experience and who contribute to the peer review literature in the curation process, how to get larger groups of knowledgeable, experienced individuals to contribute to the curation process so that our jbjess.org, or we call it the hub internally, it may have a different name in the future, so that that becomes a real useful tool where individual practitioners, the non-academics, the 90% of our community worldwide that doesn't necessarily find interest in contributing to the knowledge can go and find a reliable, vetted information that they can use to make treatment decisions. So it's involving more experts rather than just a smaller group, which we've had to do for a lot of practical reasons in the past. And in that light, how are we going to use the tools of artificial intelligence to do some of that curation for us in ways that doesn't allow some of the pitfalls that can come with artificial intelligent perseveration and making up data, et cetera.
Absolutely. And I might argue and say that, you know, on top of all that, as we think about the future brand, if it is our belief, and I truly believe it is, that we want to become really, really ingrained in our members, you know, and surgeons and healthcare practitioners around the world as the home of the best musculoskeletal evidence, I do believe we're going to have to start thinking about our own transition from, because of our excellence in, because of our excellence in peer review, we can actually invite the world and we can ultimately move mm-hmm. to this idea. So maybe it may be time. I'm not saying we're doing any of this, Mark, but maybe time for a change in a tagline that would continue to remember, you know, the great work of Jim Heckman, saying that, you know, excellence peer review is a strategic and important pillar, you know, within the greater vision to ultimately deliver the highest quality evidence to the world. And maybe, you know, we have to think about, you know, getting to people's hearts, because I always say, people don't care about their x-ray look like, they care about how they feel. So how do we make them feel? We know excellence peer review is a critical operational talent, probably second to none, right? Yeah. The organizations, and largely because of the effort that you put in, and obviously through the insights of your predecessors, right? So totally understand that. But anyways, I'm throwing out a potential, just an olive branch to those to say, we may be thinking about that and we'll be looking for all kinds of ideas as we move forward.
Yeah, but you're really all in on doing it first and then figuring out how to label it as a secondary maneuver. And I know you're already underway with the doing it, which is the first part.
No, it's optics is fun. You know, I'm sure you've had this too. And I talked to a lot of folks recently, and, you know, when you're just doing your thing, you go do your thing. Mm-hmm. Other people worry about you or they worry what you're up to, you know, whether you're an institution, a company, an individual. People will always be worried about you. I think it's a huge waste of time worrying about another institution, another place. It's much better time spent on yourself. And so I think, as me personally, and I think our journal is focusing on what we can do better to serve our community. And that's the best thing we can do for orthopedics, I think.
Amen. Hallelujah, note, brother.
On that note, I think I'm allowed to call it to a close. I think, you know, end on a high note, Mark, right? End on a high note. So why not? Yeah. And I didn't bring up the hockey tragedy.
Amen. I'm depressed. I'm going to have to go on a bike ride to get some endorphins going.
Well, we'll do it next year, right? We'll do it next year. We'll do it next
year.
Okay. All right. Have yourself
go Leafs. Go Leafs.
Go Leafs.
Right. Have a good day, Mo.
You too. Yeah.